This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Some stark quotes yesterday at the owners' meetings. Got a lot of people talking around the NFL, the movers, the shakers. And I think for the first time, it's really changed how I feel about what they're going to do in the draft. I know that a lot of people have given me good arguments for Abdul Carter or other players and trading down and what they want to do at the quarterback position, but I've been pretty steadfast and I think they're going to draft a quarterback. After yesterday, that faith is shaken. That faith is like, I don't know if they're going to take a quarterback now. He seems to be pretty content that, at least he's saying it, that if the QB ain't there, they're not going to force the QB. But it also, while it's refreshing to hear, and I'm relieved to hear that there's no more Deshaun Watson going to be playing for this football team anymore, I do have to come to grips with the reality that Kenny Pickett, I think, is going to start the year. And that doesn't enthuse anybody.
So you think the Cousins thing is dead now?
And if when I hear Andrew Berry say they're going to skew young and Jimmy Haslam says they're not going to force it, it's like, why am I going to be giving up assets for this guy who's just going to be, if we're doing it the way we want to do it, he'll just end up being the same quarterback he was in Atlanta. He is coming off an injury. He is an older QB. And I'm thinking, this might be, and they've been known to overcorrect. When they let go of Sashi Brown and brought in John Dorsey, go with me on this. I mean, John Dorsey was a complete 180. I mean, the real football players thing. Then he got blown out, and then it almost went, the pendulum swung back the other way. Last year, from what we thought was a good coaching staff, they made changes to the point where Bill Callahan was like, you know what, I am going to go coach with my son. I'm out of here. And it was a disaster. It was a disaster the way they tried to set it up for Deshaun Watson. They have a tendency to overcorrect, and my thought is maybe they looked at Kevin and they go, what is an option you like at quarterback? And Kevin may have very well looked at them and said, now that Kevin's the one who has all the power in this scenario, Kevin might have looked at him and said, here's a guy you could trade for cheap. Here's a guy who's young. Here's a guy who is desperate to make his go in the NFL again, who will listen to every word I said. I want this guy. And while I'm uncomfortable with Kenny Pickett, because I made a lot of jokes in the past, I'm gonna have to get comfortable with that idea and hope for the best. And hope that I was wrong. Hopefully that his hands are big enough. Hopefully that he is good enough to play. He is the stud said he was.
You don't have to say hopefully. We know he's not.
I know he's not, but I have to hope.
You don't have to cling to hope on Kenny Pickett. I mean, you can just be honest about what the season's about.
Well, I'm being honest.
The season is not about winning if Kenny Pickett's your starter week one.
No,
does anybody truly think that?
I think it would be about, if Kenny Pickett's your starter week one, it should still be about developing whatever quarterback he got behind him, whether that be the number two pick, the number 33 pick, or later on, because I don't think he'd finish the season. But it's up to Kenny Pickett and Kevin Stefanski to change my mind on that. But I do think they went and they said, what is an option that you like? And I think he liked Kenny Pickett, because I can't say for certain, but they have a tendency to overcorrect. And so if they took all the power away from Kevin Stefanski, wouldn't you assume that they gave a bunch of power back to Kevin Stefanski, even more so than what he already had?
But overcorrecting and Kenny Pickett, if Kenny Pickett is the correct answer to anything, then we have to reevaluate the
questions.
Because
I think that they looked at this and they said, I'm not, guys, I'm not saying Super Bowl, Super Browns, at least in earnest here. I think Jimmy Haslam was as honest as he possibly could be when you're saying, we don't need to force the quarterback. The owner said that. That's not a caller. That's not us rolling our eyes at a caller. That's the owner of the football team. So they may very well still force quarterback number two. They might do that. Things get crazy. Owners always say a lot of things. But if he's saying that, then it makes me sound like, yeah, the season's going to be about developing guys, getting some young guys in, and kind of getting a breather. And going, why should we force a quarterback in a season that doesn't have a whole lot of great quarterbacks? And so Kenny Pickett takes over. I fear for Kevin Stefanski's job then and Andrew Berry's, but
of course
that's already been dealt. They got to deal with what they got to deal with. But I think they're looking at this saying, this is enough of the craziness. We've dealt with crazy. We've created crazy. We can't do this anymore. So, yeah, you know what? Kenny Pickett is an also-ran that I've made fun of for a long time. But maybe he'll prove us wrong. Probably won't. But it looks like he'll probably start the season. I think Kirk Cousins is probably off the deck. A lot of other guys are off the deck.
Yeah, do you think their
entire... Wasn't that many to begin with.
Do you think their offseason... do you think their plans totally had to change once Atlanta didn't do what most teams thought they were going to do with Kirk Cousins? Do you think we had to go to plan B, C, or D after that? Because it kind of seems like that.
No, I think they still would probably have their reservations. I mean, he's coming off a shoulder injury, too.
Oh, you don't think Cousins was truly in the mix here?
Because I think that he was in the mix, but I think that they came with reservations. I don't think it was just go out and get Kirk Cousins no matter what. Or before they decided to hold on to it, it's like, well, Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. We got to go get him and make sure he's with us. I still think there were probably some reservations. I mean, you go from a veteran who has played well in 1 o'clock games for most of his career. That's why he's made over $200 million. And Kirk Cousins to Kenny Pickett, there's a tremendous swing there. A tremendous backswing. So I think that maybe they weren't as hot over Kirk Cousins as we thought they were going to be. Because can anybody advocate giving up any decent asset for Kirk Cousins when you have a team that does not have the type of talent we thought they had?
I wonder if they thought he was just getting cut flat out. Because that seemed to be the message that was being sent around the league. Oh, wait, Cousins is going to get dumped. And then it's a perfect fit with Stefanski in the offense. And I wonder if the Browns put too much stock into that, and they turned out they were proven wrong, and now they couldn't go get him, and now they're not going to go trade for him. So I wonder if they're pivoting because of that.
I think they had to be ready for Terry Fontenot to say that he wasn't going to trade him. And at first, I farted in that general direction as well. But then I think that when you have a guy who's still there and you're picking up the tab on him, you got to be ready to hold. You got to be ready to know that you're not going to get this guy unless you meet the price. Do you want to meet the price for Kirk Cousins? Well, I mean, maybe they'll look at Kenny Pickett and OTAs and go, holy potatoes, we got to go out there and we got to go get Kirk Cousins to start this season. But I think I got to get ready for Kenny Pickett to start the season for the Cleveland Browns. It's better than Deshaun Watson in that whole scenario, I'll tell you that right now. But this is where it's at. And I think that a stark reality came to people that this is going to be a rebuild. I wonder why then they signed Myles Garrett if this is going to be a rebuild. Because if you need more picks, you got to... And yeah, I know the cost, the contract would have been an albatross. All right, but if you're not really competing anyway, then why didn't you go get the picks? Why is Joel Bitonio back? Like, a lot of this doesn't make sense. But if they don't want to force the quarterback, that's where we're going to be. It's going to be Kenny Pickett and maybe Jackson Dart, maybe Will Howard. Somewhere in there, I think that right now, I think that's where I'm leaning, where they might go. I know that Ian Rappaport said some things, and we'll play that for everybody. And I know Sam Acho said some stuff. We'll play that for everybody from ESPN. But I'm starting to lean more that they ain't going to take that quarterback at number two. That it very well is going to be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or a trade down in that spot.
Well, when we were watching Jimmy Haslam yesterday, it was obviously as much as you could see. You're looking at the words, and they're different from what a savvy front office executive who's trying to throw everybody off the scent. Haslam is not that's just not the way that he's going to talk. He's not going to be as particular about that stuff. That's why I think you and I reached the same conclusion that he was being totally honest. He wasn't doing the trying to throw people off the scent the way that all the front office guys are doing this time of year.
Yeah, it really said a lot to me where, All right, maybe they're not taking a quarterback. Maybe they're not going to force this thing. Because if they don't feel right about the quarterback, there's so much up in the air. I mean, June 30th, we're talking about a deadline to secure public money for a new stadium. Are they going to revitalize or they're going to try to renovate the stadium that they have over there? I mean, there's a lot here. And we could go with the exciting pick, but if it doesn't work, you're going to fall out of favor even more with the fan base. I thought yesterday was a good step, and even in some ways, and I think you're about to beat me over the head with it, it felt like finally they did something that made them better. Just admitting that this quarterback is not going to be on your football team and play for your football team.
Well, you just mean that if they were delusional about Deshaun Watson, they were never going to get better, period.
Because
I don't think they've gotten better yet, but this does start the rebuild.
Well, because there's so
many. In earnest.
Like, I could sit there and tell you when Deshaun Watson had the workout video, and we had people lining up going, you know what? Maybe he will play. And I'm going, guys, Miles said it. Denzel said it. Njoku said it. All these players have said it. They need a quarterback. They said they needed a healthy quarterback. I mean, this is the real response I was getting. They said they needed a healthy quarterback. What about when Deshaun Watson gets healthy again? You needed the owner to say something. The owner said something. And the bar is low, laughably low. I know this as I say it, but it did feel like this is the one moment where they actually kind of got better over the offseason yesterday, just by saying that this quarterback that nobody wants to play for the football team anymore, that is the worst trade they've ever made, arguably the worst trade in NFL history, probably not even arguable, is not going to be playing for this football team ever again. Let me have it. I know you disagree. I'm sure you do.
Well, I think it was important. Yesterday was an important step. When ownership does that, it gets the fans at least on some same page. We're not all going to be on the same page on how to rebuild it, how to get better, who to take in the draft. Like, that's never going to happen. But I think finally we can put to bed any of the clocks in the emojis in the social media accounts. Like, here we go. It's Deshaun season again. Like, well,
hold on.
That stuff's finally coming to an end.
That is a spaces. That's all that is. I didn't know what that was either. I told you. Like, months and months ago, somebody was tweeting. I go, I don't know what this is, and apparently it's a spaces. So I'm not going to go after that.
Everybody that's doing that was maintaining that Deshaun Watson is coming back, and he's going to be the quarterback, and he's still in the plans, and here's a workout video. Even though he left town immediately after they stopped filming the workout video. So that was the extent of the rehab. Like, all that stuff's over. It's over, and we can all talk like adults again about the future of the Browns. We don't have to worry about the pesky, annoying people out there that are trying to divide the fan base. That stuff's over. Deshaun Watson era, it's over. It is a swing and the miss, and even though he's still got years on his contract left, and of course, people are going to wonder, then why are you still doing this with the contract? They're going to say, well, it's still salary cap stuff we have to do. Although, you know, looking back, I wonder if they knew it was going to be this bad, they would have just absorbed the contract now. Might as well do it this year. Absorb as much money as humanly possible this year because they're going to be bad. Guys, we know they're going to be bad. We can debate the extent of how bad they're going to be and at what point it turns into an all-out tank. Like last year, they weren't trying to tank to start out the year. But then, you know, the last third of the year, it was evident, we might as well lose as many games as humanly possible and move up the draft. And it worked. They got all the way up to number two. And if Hamilton, Kyle Hamilton for the Baltimore Ravens didn't drop that obvious interception, we'd be looking at number one. So that was the one wrinkle in all of this. So I think we're all on the same page for once,
right?
And that's important.
Yeah, you're all right about that. So you do think that they got a little bit better just by osmosis?
Well, I mean, they're not really trying to get better yet because they're going to be in the process tearing down. They're losing talent. All their veterans are going to be gone in the next few years except for Miles.
Fair, but the first step towards making yourself better is admitting your mistake.
Yeah.
And that's a colossal mistake.
Yeah, they needed to do that. I think that was important. They're not stupid. They know how fans are talking about it. Even their exciting stadium project. Their incredible stadium project that might bring a Super Bowl and bowl games and Big Ten championship and WrestleMania, even that is unpopular right now. Like, way more unpopular than it was a year ago at this time.
So do you think that they may stay away from the quarterback now?
Boy, I think you're right in how you evaluated what was being said yesterday.
You think I'm right? Yeah.
I think you are right.
Because I think they could sit around and go, we don't need a quarterback this year. Well, next year is a much better class.
I also,
people are already giving me the Arch Manning stuff. I go, guys, I don't even know if he's going to come out next year. Let's take it 1 year at a time here before we start tanking out multiple years over here.
Well, not to mention, I do think that there is a chance that Andrew Berry and the evaluators told them what we were hearing from the combine, which is we don't have a first round grade on the on Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, all right, well then why aren't you trading up to get Cam Ward? Maybe they're saying we don't have a great grade on Cam Ward either. Like that's not out of the realm of possibility that what they are saying now might link up with what people had been telling us all year, that had these quarterbacks have come out a year ago, here is where they would be taken.
I mean, this, I just got comfortable with the idea that they were going to take one. And I'll give you every reason in the world if I am convinced they're going to take one, that I like Shedeur Sanders for this, and this reason. But if they're not going to take one, okay, then if you're willing to wait, I don't want to be waiting around forever because I don't think you're ever going to find the perfect prospect. I just don't think the odds are not in your favor to find the perfect prospect. Again, Patrick Mahomes was 10th overall. You want to do the luck thing. I mean, it's very difficult. But damn, like that gave me a different perspective on this. Some people in the NFL, they may disagree. Ian Rappaport, he was talking on NFL Network yesterday, said the Browns can make things right if they were to go to Shedeur Sanders.
What are the Browns going to do? Now, they do have a chance to make this right and take Shedeur Sanders at 2 if that is, in fact, their decision. But what goes into that, what they ultimately decide, will go a long way in seeing how well they fix this mistake.
So here's Sam Acho as well, ESPN NFL Live yesterday, about Shedeur Sanders.
They should absolutely get Shedeur Sanders. This Cleveland Browns team, let's start with their defense. A few years ago, they had the number one ranked defense. What do they not have? A quarterback. You have Kevin Stefanski, who's been a two-time coach of the year. Now, what is he doing this year? Taking over play calling duties again. We've seen in years past this offense be effective with on-time throws, right? Yes, the play action works, but this offense is based off of timing, not necessarily targeting one specific receiver, but having the vision to be able to see the field. That's what Shedeur Sanders does best. He throws it on time, he can see the field, very cerebral, understands the game. I think it's a perfect fit for the Cleveland Browns, especially if they'll have the defense, now you have the quarterback.
Okay, that's a nice thing to say, audio courtesy ESPN, but when Jimmy says what he says, that kind of calms me down. And I'm thinking maybe we're not in any sort of a hurry. If I don't have to hurry it, do they have to take Shedeur Sanders at number 2, or can you find a better prospect in the future? Because I could always just say, hey, that's Andrew Berry's fault. That's Kevin Stefanski's fault. You didn't win enough games. That's the way it goes in the NFL. You got 6 years together. That's how it goes. I think a lot of fans are more than willing to do something like that if that's it. And hey, if Kevin starts the season with Kenny Pickett and then gets to Dart or Howard or whoever and they end up playing well, then maybe you feel differently about it. Like, it's not all sewn up, but damn, when the owner says that, kind of calm me down about what they need to do or what they're going to do in this draft, because I was convinced they're going to take a quarterback at number 2, so we got to find the best quarterback that they're going to take at number 2. That changed yesterday in those comments. Jason in Akron, you're first up on the Fan.
Morning, guys.
Are the Browns better today because of what Jimmy Haslam said yesterday?
Yes. Yes. And I think it's much more clear that they're all in on a rebuild, and there's no way Myles Garrett finishes the season in Cleveland. It'll be a mid-season trade. They'll get the capital that they thought they would get off-season, and that is the only reason why they signed him.
Well, Jason, I think that I got to take a look at the dead cap hit. I don't know if that's – I think it's even more prohibitive
now. Yeah, I've heard from people that said he's almost impossible to trade now to absorb that.
Yeah, but – you guys have said all along there is no cap, right? They always figure out a way with their numbers. I don't understand it. They do.
Well, this wouldn't be an us situation now. It would be another team's situation.
Yeah.
And they're not plotting out on the same course that we are necessarily.
So your cap hit this year, Jason, I mean, this does make it very prohibitive. Like, I understand that this year it's like, all right, if they're not going to be a competitive team, and thank you for the call, they move on. I mean, you're looking at a cap hit of $62 million in 2029 with 15 of dead cap. I would hope you have your act together by 2029 with somebody young. I mean, it is the Browns. I know people could be very cynical about this, but
teams that are trading for him want that old contract where he wasn't making that much money, right? And they'd be willing to give up more assets for that. That doesn't benefit the Browns for them to give him a contract and also put a no-trade clause in.
Well, yeah, the moment you sign him, I think you're saying, okay, we're only going to take he's still worth a first-round pick, but I think you're only getting one first-round pick. Right. Before this was all done, I think it was two.
I also think that his contract before, not the contract part of it, just trading for him and knowing you'd have to rip up that contract and create a new one, I think it was holding some teams back from giving the Browns what me and you were talking about, especially for draft picks in future drafts, which were going to be the bigger drafts. Like, yeah, I think teams were willing to give us picks in this year's draft.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how we're talking about the top prospects now. You know, we're talking about the holes, you know, the flaws, the blemishes more than we will next year. Next year, we won't be talking about them, even the blue chippers and not even just the non-quarterbacks.
In so many ways, it really is a Brownsian storm. You're a three-win football team. You have the number two pick. The quarterback class is arguable. And then if you want to trade your biggest asset, the best defensive player in your team's history, the assets that you could get back are arguable because it's a weak class. And so then you sign him to a long contract, and then it really does make you beholden to him for the rest of his career. He has a no-trade clause. I understand that. I didn't think that was much because only contenders are trading for him. But, I mean, my God, you get into the dead cap stuff, it's like, holy cow. Like, this guy almost has to finish his career as a Cleveland Brown now. Because if we're getting to 2029 and things like that, I'm sure there's things that you can change. I agree with Jason about the cap. It's never as what it seems, but damn, that's a lot to deal with. A Cleveland legend says no to a new Browns stadium. Jason,
the Browns tweeted out a look at a proposed new indoor stadium.
Oh, it's something really stupid out in Brook Park that they're trying to get everybody excited about, the stadium no longer being in downtown Cleveland.
I don't know what it is about us. It feels better when it's downtown.
It's way better. They just don't want to pay for it, Travis. So, yeah, looks beautiful. Great rendering. It's going to be fun driving out there.
I'll tell you what, though. They did it with this rendering. This thing looks sweet.
It doesn't matter how cool it is. I'm not going to like it. I like the old stadium because it's downtown. I'd rather play in a dilapidated stadium than this.
Audio courtesy of the New Heights Podcast. That's Jason Kelce and his brother Travis. Jason, I tried to find any sort of a gotcha with Jason in the past about old stadiums. He listed stadiums he didn't want to play in one podcast called the Whiskey Ginger in Philadelphia. And it said Lambeau Field. I'm like, gonna get him. It's like, nah, it's an old stadium. The hallways aren't wide enough for guys of his size, but he loves that stadium. It says he loves the dinginess of the stadium. I go, damn it, he's telling the truth. I can't call him out on something like that. Does that make a difference for you with this June 30th deadline coming up?
Well,
people are starting to change their minds on this, man.
It does seem like it, right? Like, if we did do polls much earlier in the process, and people were like, okay, well, we don't know what it's going to cost. You know, we'll let you guys all sort that out. But, you know, would we like to go to games in December and January and wear T-shirts and have a real home field advantage in terms of sound? Because how much louder it's going to be. Yeah, hell yeah. Sign me up. And then we get to go to all these cool events, these world-class events that are supposedly going to come into town. Like, you know, we were being accused of pie in the sky on a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
But if all that were to be the case, like, yeah, sign me up. Now, first of all, I think people don't want to give Haslam's any kind of a win right now, just given the state of affairs for the teams. We're hearing a lot of that.
So the Haslam's mentioned June 30th, they will know if they're able to get the state funds to get the $600 million to build a new stadium down in Brook Park. And it does seem to me that seems to be a hard deadline because they said, or renovate the stadium. I don't think people made a big enough deal about that yesterday going, wait a minute, that means that this Brook Park deal is going away in June if they don't get it. At the end of June, if they don't get it.
Yes.
So if they don't get it, that means we're talking about renovating a stadium over there along the lakefront, which is it's a big undertaking. And
huge.
I don't want to kick the damn can down the road in 10 years because that could always be advantageous to them as well. They could just own that land over in Brook Park for the next decade. And then when they have to come to you and go, hell, we need a lot more money for more renovations. We told you this 10 years ago because the stadium was built on the cheap and it's right along the lakefront there. I mean, that's going to be a sticky wicket. Like, this will be a conversation we have in 2035.
So, obviously, it's an amendment to the budget bill. Budget bills are very complicated. Putting my State House correspondent hat on to talk about this. But these are complicated bills. There's a lot of controversy in the bills. Of course, they need the state, the state house to come together, both, you know, in the state legislature, the House and the state Senate, and then it needs to be signed off on by the governor. Well, Mike DeWine, what has he said? In the last week, he is totally opposed to having any of the general fund go towards this. He has talked about trying to raise more money by upping the gambling tax on this, which is going to be blowback. And
well, have you already seen the ads as you open up apps and things like that?
Right. And they have lobby power, and those people donate a lot of money to the state legislature. So when you throw all that together, this is going to be a bit of a fight. And the question is, will Mike DeWine renege on this and eventually sign off? Haslams have donated money to Mike DeWine. So they've donated money to a lot of state lawmakers. It's not their first rodeo getting into politics. So that is going to be a huge, huge battle. And to hear him yesterday basically say, yeah, and if we don't get the money, we hadn't heard him say that yet. It's like, yeah, if we don't get that money, it's over. The dome deal's dead. Like, whoa, wait a second. Mm-hmm. There's no counterproposal. There's no, hey, we'll spend one more dollar if need be. Like, he basically said, we are not getting in a protracted negotiation about this.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
So we're still waiting for young Mitch to kind of grow up in different facets of his life. His entire life still seems to be about an hour south down 77, where he was born and raised.
He's a manlet.
Yeah. He still has a lot of stuff going on back there, and I understand it's hard to truly turn the page on these types of things, like where you get your hair cut, where you get your brakes done, and where you get your oil change. All that's all back at home because it's easy. It's what you understand, right? Well, now Mitch needs to go to the dentist, which, of course, is an hour away.
Yeah, it's not even in Strasburg. It's in a little town called Mount Eaton, like in the middle of nowhere, basically. It's a whole thing. They used to be in Strasburg. They moved their offices.
Okay.
I am not familiar with that.
So,
town.
But clearly not convenient for you, especially with all that you've got going on, which we will have an update on what's going on in Mitch's life. Some new developments.
We have video evidence of what's going on in his life.
Right.
Regardless of that, we need to find you a dentist up here, which, of course, our listeners are going to be more than happy to help you out.
Yeah.
But we will try to help you out, at least in one area, a dentist that I think you should probably steer clear of.
Yeah, I don't want to smile no more. I don't really want to go nowhere. You know, it's very embarrassing.
Nyla Martin says all she wanted was a great smile. She was even willing to pay thousands of dollars for one. But instead, she was left with pain and insecurity. She tells me she paid more than $3,000 for composite veneers at the Smile Lounge in Shaker Heights. She says she thought they were a reputable and licensed dentist office. But just 3 days after the procedure, Martin knew something wasn't right.
Every other month, I'm having breakage, I'm having things fall off.
Martin tells me every time she went back to get her teeth fixed, the procedure became more painful. 19 News did some digging into the Smile Lounge. According to Shaker Heights court records, the business is solely owned and operated by Jasmine Lyons. She's accused of unknowingly offering dental services without a license to an investigator with the Ohio Dental Board back in 2023.
Oh, no.
I decided to give the Smile Lounge a call. No one answered at first, but minutes later, I got a call back from somebody at the business. I was given price points for different services. When I asked if anyone who worked there had a dental license, I never got a clear answer. The person on the other side of the phone told me to reach out to their attorney, Noelle Williams, 19 News.
Oh, my.
All right, audio courtesy of 19 News. Yeah, when you're hearing veneers are going to cost $3,000, probably a clear indication that some bargains may not be all that what they are.
How much are veneers usually? Really?
It costs some people, you know, $50,000.
No.
Yeah, yeah, you can get crazy with veneers. I mean, you know.
Who operates a business being a dentist without being having a license?
I know.
Who lets them open up a business like
amazing.
That?
It's amazing. If you watch any movies from like the early 90s, right? All the Hollywood stars, they don't have perfect teeth. Now, if you look at anybody and you're like, how did they get perfect teeth? You could go back and look.
Yeah.
Everybody got veneers. They all got veneers.
I just didn't know they were that expensive. I had no idea. Yeah, Tom Cruise, you used to look back at his teeth back in the day, and then you look at his teeth now, and it's going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I just didn't know they were that expensive. Don't you have to, when you start a business in a city, don't you have to present something to their city hall where you get zoned at and things like that? Like, you can't just, I can't just leave here and go down the street and rent a place and start a business. Don't I have to submit something to the city?
In the effort of time, I had to remove some parts of that story. This woman does have a dental assistance license from Colombia.
Yeah. So you could probably do teeth cleaning.
Colombia.
The country of Colombia.
Yes.
Not the Ivy League University.
No. What are you allowed to do as a dental assistant?
Yeah, probably clean
teeth. Probably clean assist them. Dentists.
Yeah, right. Who do the actual work. Yes. Man. The stuff that they actually can do.
This poor lady.
Hi, Mitch. What do you think? Is it worth it to save some money? You want those teeth looking... Those pearly whites.
I need them clean. I don't need anything to do with veneers. Well, I heard about the process.
I can clean teeth. For you. They can clean your teeth down there.
I mean, if it's for a good price.
I mean, I'm sure they can get you in and out the door $39.99.
Yeah. Man, I clean my kids' teeth every morning, so.
Might as well. I got one of those little toothbrushes that's actually like a finger glove, and you just put it on and.
Oh, it does all the work for you.
I got to look at the website here.
You don't need a license for that.
This. Yeah. This is.
You know, I always laugh because you have, let's say you knew some women that went south of the border to go get some cosmetic surgery, and you see that from time to time.
Yeah.
And, you know, 85% of the time, they got a great bargain, and they tell their friends about it.
Yeah,
the problem
15,
is, the other 15, not only do they botch the surgeries, it can lead to some things that cause, you know, life-threatening situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not very good.
Not always the most sterile of environment, apparently, these places, without the oversight needed.
I feel bad for I didn't realize that. I thought $3,000 would be a lot for that sort of thing. I didn't realize that's a bargain price.
Now, maybe if you had insurance paying for most of it. But I don't even know if you can get insurance for that unless for a cosmetic thing.
This is what I'm asking. So if you're opening up a business like this is in Shaker, right?
Yeah.
They just allowed
them. Who knows? That might have been... These are dentist office for the most part are small businesses, and they are, so that could have been owned by someone else who started it and then they sold out.
But I was told, see, this is the thing though. I was told by a dentist that they could have been
you've got to be told by at least 4 out of 5 dentists.
I was told by a dentist. So maybe it was the fifth dentist that you have to be a dentist to own a dental office.
Yes. That's as far as I know. I know one very well. And
so they didn't. So in Shaker, they didn't go ahead and can we see some credentials before we?
I wonder if maybe they started out just doing routine teeth cleaning, and they're like, oh, we can make big money on this other stuff that we can do.
Are you even willing to allow that?
Well, I mean, maybe they didn't know.
If I needed my teeth cleaned, I don't need to go to like Bob's Teeth Cleaners. I can just go to a dentist. That's where you go. You go to the dentist. And then the dental assistant does it, and then you go in there, and the dentist comes in and goes, okay, you're looking ship shape.
You never know if somebody's trying to upcharge you. You just go to one of these discount teeth cleaners.
All right, Josh and Berea. Hello.
So I have a perfect topic to this, or story to this topic.
We'll see.
I'm first generation. So my family, you know, they're citizens, but... they still, you know, go overseas to do their dental work. Both my parents now have to have their teeth redone because they did all that cheap dental work in Romania. And now my dad is fully dentured out at 55 years old. So do not get your teeth done by someone that can get you a good deal.
Your parents went all the way back to Romania to get their teeth done?
Yeah, because I guess they just, it's more affordable there.
But I don't know what the price of a ticket to Romania is.
Yeah, it's got to cancel out.
But I've seen the prices, and let's just say the long haul is not worth it, because now they're paying even double because their teeth is all messed up.
Oh, my God.
So please, always get it done by a guy that's certified, a guy that's legit, and the dental assistants that are actually, you know...
Yep. It reminds me of that time when I told you in the podcast last week.
Mitch, you've been going to this dentist for a while, right?
All my life.
Yeah. At least you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be worth the hour drive.
I mean, I might be able to put you on to some people, but my God.
Also, if they don't tell me that I have as good as a smile as this doctor does, I'm going to be crushed.